KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
40 Days for Life. It's right here and it's right now. And I have a guest that's going to be going to some of the 40 Days for Life events that are all around the country and speaking about the amazing story that God brought him through as he took the journey from being an abortionist to hating abortion and loving life and finding Jesus Christ in the process. Are you ready to listen? Dr. Haywood Robinson is my guest. Dr. Robinson, welcome to Encounter.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, being on this wonderful show. I'm in Texas, about 100 miles north of Houston. It's almost 80 degrees, and I'm just enjoying having warm weather, being on your show, and sharing with your radio audience.
Awesome. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. And you know, you find out so much stuff here on Encounter. So are you ready? And you might want to have your pencil or paper ready or get your ears tuned up. Dr. Robinson, tell our audience your story. What happened? Tell us a little bit about your life and where you were a long time ago.
Well, I'm from South Central Los Angeles, and most people know where that is. Born and raised, I'm a fraternal twin. I have a twin brother, and right now approaching the end of my seventh decade. I have been married 40 years. I lost my wife end of August of last year. It's been rather challenging. So all I'll say to you people out there who are married, and I know that includes you, Judy, you better cherish your spouses each and every day of their life, of your life together, because when they're gone, and it's just not the same. The memories and all the things that you shared just aren't going to be as they were in the past. But we all have to walk this way. If you're married out there, one of the two of you, more than likely, of course, and that's unfortunately, you both go at the same time, one of the two of you is going to proceed going on to eternity, and it's going to be different for you. For my wife, of course, was a believer. She was a physician that I met during training in Los Angeles at Martin Luther King Charles R. Drew Medical Center right there in South Central. She was born and raised in Trinidad, the West Indies, and we had a wonderful life. We've had four daughters and, you know, three grandchildren. And as of a few days ago, one great-grandchild.
Ooh, that's exciting. But you were outnumbered.
Too young for that.
You were outnumbered by all those girls. How did you survive?
Oh, yeah, I know daughters. So I'm just blessed to say that I'm on this show since I was about 4 or 5 years old. I wanted to be a physician. I don't know why, because I had no professionals or educated people in my immediate or extended family, so the Lord had a calling on me to become a physician, and the Lord provided the way for me to become educated and actually do my residency training not even 10 miles from where I went to high school, and that was being trained, as I said, at King Drew Medical Center, where I learned to do the abortion procedure, which is something I'll get into a little bit later. But that's kind of a background. My wife and I practiced medicine for almost 40 years here in Bryan College Station, Texas. For those in the audience that don't know Bryan College Station, that's about 100 miles north of Houston. And we were blessed to deliver a lot of babies, help a lot of people with their lives, see many children grow up, and what a wonderful testimony to see God work in a lot of people's life and to see my life vision and my wife's life vision as a physician manifest itself right here in Central Texas.
So you are both OBGYN?
No, I'm family practice. In family practice, you know, you can deliver babies, which I did for a short period of time. And you can see women, you know, in a true family practice in the old days, that was all we had. The general practice doctor or family practice doctor, you know, did everything. But now what we have is everything is very specialized. Family physicians generally don't do deliveries and that type of care now,
right,
except in smaller populations.
So you all practiced for all that time. And in family practice, did you have people that came to you and said, hey, I want an abortion?
Well, in Bryan College Station, Texas, when we moved here right after residency training, we recognized that this area was a bit more smaller and more conservative than being in South Central Los Angeles. However, we would have people come in desiring abortion. We told them that we didn't do it. But what we did was equally as bad was give them information, pamphlets at that time, because we didn't have the web, that told them where they could go out of town. Austin is about 100 miles away. Houston is about 100 miles away. And you could obtain abortion services in those areas. And I just want to remind people that even when you give someone abortion information, that's as if you are an accessory to the crime of killing that child. What you should do as a believer, as one that believes in the sanctity of human life, when someone asks for information on abortion, you should direct them to only life-affirming ministries such as pregnancy resource centers, etc., so that the baby can be saved.
So you had four daughters, and you all were in practice while raising your children. When did the time come? What led up to the time when you realized that abortion was not the avenue you wanted to follow?
Well, first, I think we need to remind ourselves and erase the delusion that we actually think abortion is a good thing. Certain people will hide behind the notion it's a woman's choice and it's really not a baby. But the reality of it, anyone that has taken biology 1 in high school knows that human life begins at fertilization. When the sperm unites with the egg, you get one cell. It's a new cell. It's nothing like the cell of the person that it's in, the mother. Its DNA, its genome is totally different. When you do an abortion, when abortion is performed, you're destroying another human being. It's not my body, my choice. It's not something that is occurring between a decision between a woman and her doctor, because the reality of the situation is when a woman shows up for her abortion, she's put in a room by a nurse, an assistant, and the first time that they meet the physician is when he comes in or she comes in to do that abortion. So the decision is really made by the prospective mother and significant other and other employees within that abortion facility where that child is killed. So when did I realize that abortion is wrong? You realize abortion is wrong from the very first time you know about it. What you live in is a delusional state trying to come up with enough stupid rationalization to make it comfortable for you to continue to do it and make that wonderful money that goes along with that particular procedure. I've often told people that if you were to remove the dollar or the money variable from the abortion industry, you and I would not be having this radio interview. Abortion is fueled by dollars. Planned Parenthood, our largest single provider and seller of abortions, makes millions upon millions of dollars per year performing abortion, in addition to receiving hundreds of millions of dollars of our tax money. Abortion is a lucrative business. If you're my wife and I, we performed abortions on weekends, moonlighted during the week. We could make, a lot of money. At the time, this would have been, 40 years ago. At the time, hundreds and hundreds of dollars in just a few hours' work, if you want to call it that. So, to summarize, always have known it's wrong. It's going to always be wrong. This is not something that's new. That's why it was addressed in the Hippocratic Oath that was written, back
in a statement that all the doctors had to sign, didn't they?
Well, actually, that's the other embarrassing thing. We didn't sign it. There used to be the oath where you would stand and raise your right hand that you would not perform abortions, medical confidentiality, no relations with your patients, and no euthanasia. However, when the law changed, they really don't say, they stopped saying the full Hippocratic Oath. So I think, I don't know if now would be a good time or later to share what was my Kairos on. When did I spiritually become aware that this was something that no longer could be continued? And I say spiritually because the bottom line of abortion and killing innocent life is not really scientific. It is spiritual.
Dr. Haywood, we are going to go to a break. So after the break, would you share more of your story?
I'd be glad to, Judy. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Well, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Dr. Haywood Robinson is my guest. He was an abortionist, as you've been listening, and his life changed. Let's hear the story after the break. We'll be right back.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.
Dr. Haywood Robinson is my guest today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick. Thanks for coming back after the break to join us. Dr. Robinson and his wife, both physicians, did abortions as moonlighters. What happened to change his life that now he and his wife changed their minds, and now he is making the circle of the 40 Days for Life to share his story and encouraging doctors and women who are thinking about having an abortion to change their mind? Let's meet Dr. Robinson again. Dr. Robinson, thank you for joining me for a second segment of Encounter. So now, let's share the good news about how you were freed from this scientific lie.
I think the word that you used, being free, is the key word, because the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And just to reboot, I am the director of medical affairs and education for 40 Days for Life. I am a founder of that organization. I've been with them since they started a decade and a half ago, a little bit more. Yesterday, Ash Wednesday, was the beginning of our new 40-day campaign, our spring campaign. And I'll be hitting the road this weekend, starting in St. Louis. And in a few weeks, I'll also be headed toward Baltimore. But how did I get here? How did I become a pro-lifer? Well, I'd also like to share, yesterday being the launching of our spring campaign, it also happens to coincide with my Damascus Road experience, or the day when I came to know the Lord and the Lord saved me, which was March 2nd, 1986. So March 2nd is my rebirth day, and my spiritual birthday, knowing Jesus, is 36. I wish I felt and looked like when I was 36 years old, but only in the spirit. And so since that time, the Lord has opened my eyes to the lies about abortion and how evil it is. And we must understand that, yes, it's a spiritual, but the way the Lord works is how they say in the Bible, and that is, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what happened prior to me coming to know the Lord, I had decided to believe lie after lie after lie that had to do with whether abortion was something that was appropriate or not. Once the Lord saved me, transformed me, to think of it the same way that he changed Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Saul was a killer and an imprisoner of Jews, and he became the greatest missionary that we know. So once the Lord did that, once he opened my wife and I's eyes to the evil of abortion and how each and every one of those hundreds of children that we had killed for the money, I would like to remind our audience, was evil and in the sight of the Lord. The other thing I need to remind our audience of is that I was long a sinner and had a disposition for going to hell long before I knew what even the word abortion meant. So abortion was not sending me to hell. The lack of the Lord Jesus Christ being my personal Lord and Savior was the reason, because we know from the Bible, it says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might know the righteousness of God. So working with a number of pro-life ministries, I started with pregnancy resource centers, our local one. I've been chairman of the board. I've introduced ultrasound decades ago to pregnancy resource centers. I've seen how when a mother connects with their child and sees an image, how 80% of the time that mother has an attachment to that child. Ultrasound is an extremely important and effective modality in our pregnancy resource centers, which save just thousands and thousands of babies, either in their freestanding pregnancy resource centers or mobile ones that they have that may be moving around town. So that's where I am, a former abortionist, a sinner, saved by grace, working to build up the kingdom using my past, my evil past, as a testimony to try to save more babies.
So how did you come to that realization? Can you think of the moment? Maybe it was when you were going to do an abortion and you decided not to. What was the precise moment?
Well, there wasn't a precise moment with respect to abortion. I went to a Christian music concert by Leon Patillo.
Yeah.
You may be old enough to remember him. I'm still in contact with him.
Awesome. I remember his music.
Wonderful artist. Yeah, he's quite the artist. Well, anyway, I stood to receive the Lord at that concert 36 years ago. However, I want to remind the audience that I wasn't standing because I used to be an abortionist. I was standing because he said, for those in the audience who want things to be 100% right with God, to stand up. And I stood up. But as we said earlier, when you get saved, you're renewed by the transforming of your mind. So it's not just abortion now that the Lord shines his light on and says, you know, no more of this, or say abusing your wife, or whatever act or pleasure that one finds that the Lord doesn't like, he makes you aware of it. So very soon after we accepted Christ, or I accepted Christ at Aldersgate Church in College Station, the Lord said, well, you know, I know you recognize you're a new creature and all that, but I want to use your specific and particular path with abortion as your ministry. Now, it was at that time when he shined that light on that particular sin in my life. And that happened at the end of a church service, approximately 4 to 6 weeks, or maybe even a little bit longer, after I stood to receive the Lord at that concert. So the events about knowing abortion is bad didn't quite coincide totally at the time of becoming a believer. But thanks be to God, here's who I am right now, working with a ministry where we have seen, you know, more than 100 abortion workers leave their facility where they work, like Abby Johnson. We've seen, you know, approaching now 20,000 babies that have been saved, and a number of abortion facilities close. One right here in College Station, where Abby Johnson was a former director and a lot of the audience has seen unplanned. So we know that this ministry of prayer and fasting during these 40 days, the 40 Days for Life, has been involved in actually works. And what's even more interesting is that we as believers sometimes act surprised when we do something as simple as prayer and fasting, which the Lord clearly instructs us to do. But we seem surprised when we see, indeed, how effective it is.
Awesome. Dr. Haywood Robinson is my guest. And Dr. Robinson, if people want to know where you're going to be, what is your website?
Well, the website is 40daysforlife.com.
40daysforlife.com.
And you can go to that website and you'll have all of the staff there. You have maps showing where our campaigns are. You would have the opportunity to sign up and be a part of a campaign close to where you are. Now, there's some areas in the United States who may not have a campaign that's really close. Hopefully, someday we will. But we are all over the world, Julie. We are in Australia. We're in Mexico. We're in Central America, South America, you know, the United Kingdom, Croatia, the Philippines. We are all over. And what I remind my brothers and sisters around the globe is that when you're praying in England, you're hand in hand with someone in the Philippines or Washington State or Baltimore, because God loves preborn children and wants us to pray about saving them. And we may be right now, Judy, in our audience, in our last campaign before the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, which is going to be absolutely awesome.
Awesome. Dr. Haywood Robinson, can you give me 30 seconds? What would you tell doctors who are doing abortions today?
The doctors who are abortionists, you were not called to do anything to harm a human life. We were called to bring comfort, to heal, and to make people's lives better. Abortion doesn't do anything for anyone positive. It kills the baby every time, or at least almost every time, and damages the mother in horrible, horrible ways. Please stop doing the abortions and do the medicine that God called you to, which was for healing and comfort.
And Dr. Haywood, what would you tell that woman that's listening right now contemplating an abortion?
that they were designed. God designed them, created them to love and to nurture and not to harm their children. It's just the way God created or programmed us, the same way we program a computer or program an app on your phone. It's normal for a woman to become protective, nurturing, and loving at the time they become pregnant. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Hey, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Dr. Haywood Robinson has been my guest. A doctor and his wife who performed abortions a long time, their lives were changed. Jesus Christ changed them. Where Dr. Haywood is no longer an abortionist, but he is a child of the King, helping to save babies. 40 Days for Life. Dr. Haywood is Director of Medical Affairs and Education of 40 Days for Life, and we thank you so much for sharing today on Encounter.
A blessing for me, Judy, and carry on your ministry.
Thank you, and thank you all for tuning in.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.